Happy Halloween, y'all. Today we're going to do something a little different, and I'll tell you the story as a campfire tale. So grab a warm drink and let's gather around the fire as I tell you one of Appalachia's scariest stories, The Haunting of the Bell Witch. I'm Candace, and I'll be your guide. Our story begins in the early 1800s with the Bell family. John and Lucy Bell moved from their home in North Carolina to Robertson County, Tennessee, near what is now the town of Adams. They bought a beautiful home and a large acreage along the Red River to continue their farming endeavor and went on to have 9 children. They were considered wealthy for the time, with a large home and several slaves. John Bell is regarded as a very successful person, held in high esteem by the local community. Aside from his large and happy family, he had gained wealth and influence with his farming practice and became an elder at Red River Baptist Church. Unfortunately, death had befallen a couple of the children over the years, as was sadly common at that time. But the Bells managed it as best as they could and continued to be a prestigious local family. One day in 1817, John Bell encountered a strange creature in his cornfield while he was checking on the crops. It seemed to have the body of a dog, but the head of a rabbit. He shot at it several times, but the creature vanished. John didn't realize until later that this strange creature was actually the first observed manifestation of an entity that would haunt the Bell family for years. That evening, after dinner, the family heard beating sounds on the exterior walls of their log cabin. The sounds escalated over the following days. Sometimes John Bell and his sons would hurry outside trying to catch whatever culprit was causing them, but they would find nothing. The children began to hear sounds in their bedrooms, telling their parents that it sounded like rats were gnawing at their bedposts. Then the haunting escalated to something raising the bed covers off the children at night, and eventually to their blankets and pillows being thrown away from the bed by an unseen force. As time went on, the family began hearing faint whispers. The words were indistinguishable, but later the vague whispers transformed into what they say sounded like an elderly woman singing hymns. Still, activity continued to escalate. This unseen entity, for whatever reason, began attacking Betsy, the Bell's youngest daughter, who was about 11 years old initially. The entity would pull her hair and hit her hard enough that sometimes the child was covered in welts and handprints. In typical Appalachian fashion, initially John Bell swore his family to secrecy about the haunting. But after his daughter began getting hurt, he eventually confided in his closest friend and neighbor, James Johnston. James didn't entirely believe that such events could be occurring, but curious, he and his wife stayed the night at the Bell home to see if they could see for themselves. The night began peacefully, but soon they understood when an unseen force tore their bed covers from the bed, then slapped James. He leapt from the bed and shouted, "In the name of the Lord, who are you and what do you want?" Nothing else happened to the Johnstons for the rest of their certainly restless night at the Bell homestead. The following morning, James explained to John Bell that he felt that this was an evil spirit at work. "The kind that the Bible talks about," he explains. Over time, that eerie, whispered voice strengthened to the point it was clear, loud, and unmistakable. It would sing hymns, quote scripture, carry on intelligent conversations with the family, and at one point, even quoted word for word two sermons that had been held at two different churches on the same day, 13 miles apart. This means the spirit had managed to be in two places at the same time, or had managed to travel 13 miles in the blink of an eye. The experiences at the Bell Homestead began to spread by word of mouth, outside the settlement and eventually to Nashville, where President Andrew Jackson, who at the time was a major general, heard about the haunting. When Jackson realized that three of the Bell sons had fought under him at the Battle of New Orleans in the War of 1812, he quickly decided he wanted to pay a visit to the Bell family and see what was happening for himself. Jackson arrived with several men, some horses, and a horse-pulled wagon. But as they neared the Bell home, the horses stopped and wouldn't proceed. Initially, they believed the wagon to be stuck in the mud and the horses were just unable to move it. But after a while of struggling, they realized that wasn't the case. The horses just would not proceed to the house. Finally, Andrew Jackson explained to his entourage that he believed this to be the work of the Bell Witch. And when he did, they all heard a female, disembodied voice state, ominously, that they could proceed and she would see them later that evening. Upon arrival, Jackson regaled the family with war stories while his troops set up tents in the Bell family's yard. After camp was set up and all the men were able to visit with the family, one proclaimed himself as a witch tamer, pulling out a gun and saying that he carried one silver bullet with him. This silver bullet was capable of killing any supernatural entity it came in contact with, he explains. And that is why nothing had happened to them at the Bell home, because it was afraid of his silver bullet. This man swiftly felt the wrath of the Bell Witch. Everyone watched as his body began immediately contorting into strange and disgusting positions and spasming as he screamed, before he mysteriously was propelled out the front door of the home as if he had been physically kicked from behind. The voice then angrily spoke aloud, stating that there was yet another fraud in Jackson's group to be discovered, and she would identify him the following night. Jackson's men were terrified and begging to leave, but he insisted they stay as he wanted to know who the other fraud was. Unfortunately, the events of that night have been lost to time. But it is said that Jackson's entourage was seen the following day, heading back toward Nashville. Later on, Jackson is quoted as saying, "I would rather fight the British at New Orleans than fight the Bell Witch." Much of the witch's abuse continued to center on Betsy, the youngest daughter. She was physically and emotionally tormented by the events over the years, pale, weak, and listless. Occasionally, the Bells would become concerned enough about her to insist that she stay over at the neighbor's house to get some rest. On her first visit staying with her neighbor, Fanny Thorne, they had gone to bed for the night when they heard a loud bang and felt a large gust of wind, as if the front door had been kicked in. Fanny immediately jumped up and lit a candle, only for them to see the door was still in place, as if nothing had happened. It was then that they heard a soft voice say,
"Betsy, you should not have come over here. You know I can follow you anywhere. Now, get a good night's sleep,"
before a soft hand patted her cheek. In another instance, family friend Frank Miles, who was absolutely unafraid of the paranormal, told Betsy that he would keep her safe so she could rest. He assured her no harm would come to her so long as he was present. However, he was wrong. When Betsy was beaten and had her hair pulled before the witch turned its physical assault to Frank, knocking him down. For reasons unknown, much of the witch's anger seemed to revolve around Betsy's recent engagement to her childhood sweetheart, Joshua Gardner. The voice repeatedly and loudly instructed Betsy not to marry Gardner. While they remained together throughout these attacks, Betsy was afraid to be married, fearing retribution from the witch. Eventually, this fear tore the couple apart, as Betsy felt the only way to protect Joshua and prevent further attacks would be to end their relationship. After the pair broke up, it is said that the disturbances quieted in the Bell home, but of course, did not stop. Now that Betsy was no longer the prime target, the witch set her sights entirely on John Bell, who she had nicknamed Old Jack Bell. The witch had a particular venom for John, vowing several times that she would end his life. The witch said aloud,
"John Bell is a bad man."
John had been experiencing some difficulty swallowing as well as some twitching in his face for about a year at this point, which was growing increasingly worse. Soon, he became confined to the bed. When he tried to walk, the witch removed his shoes, and when he began having seizures, she would slap his face upon awakening. Her shrill voice carried over the entire farm, cursing and chastising Old Jack Bell. Finally, one morning in December 1820, John fell into a coma and died the following day. After his death, the family found a vial of dark-colored liquid in the cupboard. John Jr., the oldest Bell son, decided to see what the liquid was by giving a couple of drops to the family cat, who immediately died. Then the voice of the witch spoke aloud, declaring,
"I gave Old Jack a big dose of that last night, which fixed him."
John Jr. then threw the vial into the fireplace, which burst into a large, bright blue flame. John Bell's funeral had a large turnout, with multiple eulogies and many mourners present. It was largely agreed upon in the community the Bell witch had been the one to kill John. As the mourners began to depart, the disembodied voice of the witch began to cackle, then sing a song about brandy. She didn't stop until every last mourner had left the graveyard. But who is the Bell witch? Opinions differ, but legend maintains that the witch was Kate Batts. Kate was a farmer's wife in town who had an unusual manner of speaking and seemed to go out of her way to try to get attention. She also did all of the farming chores as her husband was paralyzed, and these attributes led to her being somewhat of a local outcast. It is said that there was a past dispute between Kate and John over the sale of a slave, and she held resentment toward him from that point on. The witch is also said to have responded to the name Kate, which furthered local suspicion. As the spirit activity was quickly diminishing in the home, the voice of the witch declared that she was leaving, but she would return. Some say she never did, but others say she never truly left and still haunts the area and the Bell descendants to this day. Sleep well tonight.